Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
That's exactly what we're looking for.
You're listening to Drink Jokes and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadano, and with me as always,
Richie Byrne.
Your producer, Soul Joel.
We have the man of many voices.
Many voices.
And special guest.
Even imitates deaf people.
I did.
We found out.
In our last show.
I only did a couple of impressions on the first part. This is a two-parter. And in the first part, I imitated a screaming deaf person being upset about the word
Apparently,
abortion.
Apparently, they sound like Sam Kinison.
They do.
So, Craig Gass, ladies and gentlemen.
Craig Gass is in the
Hey, everybody.
House.
Craig Gass, part two with Craig Gass.
Part two.
We normally start every show where we talk about your favorite drink. And I know Craig very well. And before... He doesn't drink anymore, and that's because when you would stay at my house, you would drink a whole bottle of Jack Daniels.
I did. I love drinking Jack Daniels, and I just loved cocaine too much. So I'll tell you, I can answer the question. My favorite drink is chocolate milk. I love chocolate milk.
That's right. You did always get chocolate milk.
Yeah,
no matter
I will.
How drunk we were, he would go and get a chocolate
milk.
Dude,
let's get some chocolate
milk. Chocolate milk is awesome.
It really is.
And there's no bad.
Not when you're all liquored up.
No, dude, I used to love diner chocolate milk at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, there's moments where I'll be checking out of a hotel, and it'll be like Sunday morning, and I got to run out. And then I'll open the door and I'll notice that the housekeeper's in the next, working on the next room. She's about to come to my room and I'll turn around and I'll see like all these empty chocolate milk cartons. And it looks like I had a party for a bunch of kids in my room. And I'll be like, fuck. It used to be the shame of like all these empty bottles of booze. Like, man, I look like an alcoholic. I should at least take a couple of these out of here and throw them in the garbage so there's only a couple bottles.
The Michael Jackson suite.
Yeah.
Now it's chocolate milk.
Yeah, now it's chocolate milk. But yeah, but I loved cocaine, and I loved cocaine so much that I had a heart attack, and the heart attack kind of, this is a really fucked up story. I had a heart attack in 2002, and I got completely clean in 2004. So
there you go.
The heart attack scared me straight for a year.
That's pretty young to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I was 32 years old when I had the heart attack, and
jeez,
wow, I knew you during peak performances.
Oh
huh?
yeah, Mark and I,
we go
man,
way back.
We really do. But
there were a few times I drove you to Connecticut, and I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah. And it's crazy. You look back because there's a lot of dumb things that I've done that I look and I see other people dying from, and I go, holy fuck, I can't believe I got away with that. You know, or a buddy of mine was just telling me so many cool things have happened that I've been really lucky to experience in the last 50. I've been paying my mom's
life.
Bills. Yeah, I've been paying my mom's bills for 18 years now. And my buddy and I were talking about this one night. We went to Vancouver, British Columbia, when I was still living in Seattle. Marilyn Manson was performing in Vancouver on the Antichrist Superstar tour, and the tour manager of Marilyn Manson gave me a stack of backstage passes. He's like, here's 50 passes, can you just hand these out to cute girls? And I was like, of course.
Yeah,
and
that's a dream.
And he's, and I remember he had one request. He goes, don't give them out to goth chicks. Marilyn Manson hates goth chicks. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, find blondes. And I go, all right.
That's hysterical.
So
that
I'm walking,
hilarious.
That's awesome.
I'm walking around this arena as the mayor of the Marilyn Manson concert handing out passes to girls. And there's people coming, hey, can I have a pass? Like, sorry, man, I'm under strict orders.
Be like, and Kenny G loves goth chicks.
Yeah. Kenny G loves cocaine and goth girls. The more damage, the better. That sick fuck
just
does shit.
Just hand them out to goth chicks.
The shit that Kenny does with his flute is disgusting. Yeah. No, so I'm walking around this arena, and this guy walks up to me, and he says, hey, man, can I get a couple passes? And I go, sorry, man, I do this dick move, but I'm under order.
You're a dude.
I need to give this out to girls. Sorry. And he goes, I'll give you some coke. And I went, how much coke? And he said, he goes, I'll give you an 8-ball. And I go,
How many passes
do you want? Exactly. How many passes? And he said, I want. And it was something like 6 or 8. And I go, no problem. Let's have that cocaine. And I did a little bit of the cocaine. It was actually amazing. It was really strong. And so strong that I was like, we got to get the fuck out of here because I'm getting really high. And so we jump in the car and drive back to Seattle. I drove over the...
From New York.
It's funny because I was thinking, I'm like, where were you?
Vancouver, British Columbia. It's a three-hour drive from Seattle. So I drived over an international border with cocaine tucked underneath my crotch in my driver's seat in the car I was driving. And so I was just sitting right there.
Yeah.
And I drive over the border, and the border guard said, where are you coming from? And I said, oh, we're coming from a concert. Where do you live? Oh, we live in Seattle. Okay. Ask a couple questions. How long were you in Canada for? All right. Let me just get you to get out of the car and pop the trunk so I can take a look at your trunk. And I go, all right. And the agent started to walk towards the back of the car. I cupped the cocaine in my hand, got out of the car, popped the trunk with an eight ball of cocaine in my left hand, and the agent said, okay, cool, you're good to go. And I said, all right, closed the trunk, got back in the car, and went, oh my God, we got to get some booze, we got to get some. And I just, and I got really hammered, and my buddy pointed out, I was like, can you imagine, like, if I had gotten caught that night? And he said, dude, the last 20 years would have never happened. You would have been in prison the whole time. And I was like, oh my God, wow, that's a really good point. I just the experiences of being a stand-up comedian, plus the luck that I've found myself in, you know, the Howard Stern show and then Sex and the City and King of Queens, being able to make a living doing stand-up, sending money home to my mom, none of that would have happened had I gotten busted. It was just a really stupid move that I got lucky with, you know?
Damn.
Yeah, but yeah, really crazy moments, but
your karma bank runs deep.
Yeah, it really...
Except for the heart attack.
Except for the heart attack, which I was lucky to...
Which he survived.
Yeah, I survived. And, but yeah, getting...
You do a ton of great stuff for people, too. I mean...
I always like to share. I love to share. I love to share experiences
coke.
With... I did not share coke. That's one thing I did not share. But if I'm...
It's crazy. So as long as I've known Craig, and I remember when you called me and told me that you were sober now, and I was kind of blown away because I've been, I don't know how many concerts with you backstage where it's unlimited booze and everything's right there. I've never seen you walk around with a drink.
Really?
I've woken up where you've slept in, like, my apartment and then came out and there was booze gone.
Yeah.
But I've never actually seen you drinking.
Wow.
So when you said you were getting sober, I was like, do you drink? I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's because you were drunker.
I was hammered, but.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to make another observation that I think all these things have happened around you when you haven't been thinking about it. But when you told the story on the Artie Lang podcast, they had you sign before one of your auditions. You had to sign a contract, and he saw how much money you were going to get.
Oh, yeah.
And all you could think about for the next hour was...
Was that audition.
Yeah.
And that money.
And the money. And then you completely bombed.
And I bombed.
The audition. They had the other guy read with seven girls. You read with one. They couldn't get you out of the studio fast enough.
The other guy was Brian Scolaro. And that was... Brian and I...
I saw him here the other night.
Brian and I became friends after that. We were both up... ABC had narrowed down the lead for this new sitcom that they were banking on called Platonically Incorrect was the name of the show. And they had narrowed down seven or eight female leads, but there was only two male leads that they were looking at, me and Brian Scolaro. And they bring us up to the Disney building / ABC building in Burbank. The top floor of that building is a theater. There is a, I would say it's a spacious, maybe 200-seat theater. And and they have dudes in penguin suits, like these guys come, like catered food coming in and out for the execs that are watching. And before they had us go into the room, they had us sign contracts. Like, listen, just so you know, we need you to just sign this agreement for what you're going to get paid if we hire you. And I looked at this. It was so crazy to put a signature next to this dollar amount. I was like, holy shit. I mean, it was in that contract, in one contract, I could take care of my mom for the rest of her life. And then I waited for an hour, and all I could think about was like, oh, my God, and then I could do this, and then I could do this, and I can do this. And then I went out and did my audition and just ate my nuts so badly that they didn't even want it. Like Brian was auditioning with each of the seven girls, and they wanted to see what his chemistry was like with this girl and with that girl and with that girl. And then they said, all right, now we're going to have Craig. And I came in with the one girl. They had me read with one girl and said, okay, we're done. And then that was it. And I was
Thank you.
And I was like, fuck, you know. But, yeah, it's but any kind of, like, cool experience that I get, I always want to share it with people. Every concert that I go to, I usually get tickets and backstage passes. I'm usually friends with the band or somebody that works. I used to work in music when I was a kid, so I made a lot of friends in the music business. And every concert that I go to, I usually don't need the tickets. So I'll go to the very top of the venue, and I'll look for anybody who is in the shittiest seats of the venue that's on their feet. Like, they have the worst seats, but they're rocking. And I'll give them the tickets and say, hey, I got, you know, if you want good seats, I got front row seats for you. And they're like, oh, my God, no way. Oh, my God, how can I repay you? And I'll be like, I'm a stand-up comedian, and I'm a stand-up comedian, and I'm in your town doing a show. Just come see me at the local comedy club. Like, oh, my God, for sure. Oh, my God, what is your name? Craig Gass? Oh, dude, we're definitely – okay, write that down. We're going – what club
Steve
are you
Harvey.
At?
Dude, we can't wait to see you, man.
Can't wait. And they never show up.
They never show up.
99% of the time, they never show up.
They're on their way home from the concert going, fuck that guy.
But, yeah. And I'm always trying
Kyle
to
– Gass has this huge following.
Yeah, but I'm always trying to share the experience. And then Mark wanted me to talk about something that was like a shared experience, which wasn't the best ending, but it's a pretty intense story.
Dude, when you told this story, I got so emotionally involved that I had to stop and then come back to it because it was too... There's just so you get emotionally involved in the characters of this.
I was just contacted by his family today too because I'm headlining Vegas for the first time, and so I was in Vegas at a sports bar, and here's the embarrassing part of me. I have a lot of friends who are very successful, who go out of their way to not be bothered by people or get recognized by people. But I am so embarrassing that if anyone walks up to me and goes, dude, aren't you comedian or aren't you the guy from that? Like
That guy.
I will talk to you. And I've done this. I have talked to people until they get to the point where they go,
Okay,
we got to leave. And I'll go, dude, come on, let's hang out. And they'll go, no, we got to. I'll make it weird. I've done it in my own apartment building in Los Angeles where I went outside and a guy in the hallway said, Craig Gass, what are you doing here? And I go, I fucking live here, dude. What's up? And I talked to him until he was like, okay, I got to go. And
6 hours later, you're like, it's 3 a.m. Where are you going?
That guy moved out.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some more stories? Come on, dude. Yeah, I've made it fucking weird.
Honey, pack up. We got to get away from Craig Gass.
Yeah, it gets really weird. So I'm at this, I'm a huge Seahawks fan, and I found a Seahawks bar in Vegas. And I'm at this bar watching my team when this woman walked up to me and said, hey, I'm really sorry to bother you, but my husband is your biggest fan, and he's too shy to say hello to you. And I said, well, where's he at? Let's go. And he's like, his name's Bob. He's over there. And I go, Bob, what's up, dude? And I give him a hug. I'm like, what's up, Bob? And he's a really nice guy, this dude, Bob Miles. And I sit down and I hang out with him, and we watch the rest of the game together. And he's an unbelievably sweet man. He's a special ed teacher. And he loves the Seahawks like I do. He happens to love KISS. And he loves all the same shit I do. And I recognize his name from my Facebook page. And but he's got some serious health problems. He's morbidly obese, and he even at one point went into a coma for a period of time. That, and this was the craziest story, that his wife, he said, hey, tell him the story. And apparently he said his wife, when he was in a coma, would come in every day and play his favorite band on a boombox. And he actually had a physical reaction in a coma listening to his favorite band. There were tears coming down his face.
Wow.
While she was playing his favorite band. And I was like, who's your favorite band? And he goes, Pearl Jam. And I go, Pearl Jam's your favorite band? And he goes, yeah. And I go, do you know that I'm friends with one of the guys in Pearl Jam? And he goes, oh, yeah. I mean, I follow your Facebook page, man. You get to do a lot of cool shit. And then I immediately felt really embarrassed that I've never done anything, I don't think, to deserve experiences like the experiences I've had. I've been right place, right time so many times in my life. And here's a guy who loves all the same shit I do, and he's got not only health problems, now he's swimming in debt because of his health problems. And one thing that was interesting about him is his teenage kids were there, and they loved him. They were, like, really loving and affectionate to him. And I was like, what teenager loves their parents? Like, how cool are you that your kids respect you as teenagers? And so I got his phone number. And I stayed in touch with him and started calling him. And every time I come into Vegas, like, hey, man, can I take you out to dinner? And we go out to dinner. And then I started getting really nosy and saying, like, what are you doing for your health, dude? Like, are you – like, does your doctor tell you you should, like walk at all? And he goes, yeah, he does, but it's hard because, you know, I'm – you know, as a special ed teacher, I'm literally, like, physically picking kids up all day, and I'm just really tired when I get home. And I'd – be like, yeah, but for like 20 minutes, you can't walk for like 20 minutes or, and it got really weird. Like I started pushing and even his wife would go, Bob's really tired, you know, when he gets home. And I said, yeah, for 20 minutes, you can't walk for, like I started being shitty to
him. And meanwhile, you took him out to dinner.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great point. But, and then,
eat your steak. Anyway.
Yeah. So, that's a great point. I never brought that up, but I said
I don't want to blame you, Craig.
Hello, enabler.
I finally said, hey, I go, listen, I go, what? How about this? I go, I'll call you every day and I'll walk with you. We'll go for a walk and we'll do it together. And he's like, really? You would do that? And I go, well, look at me. I need to go for a walk. I mean, but you know, dude, 20 minutes a day, you can't fucking, I'll call you and we'll go for a walk and just whatever city I'm in, let's just go for a walk every day, man. We'll do it together. And he's like, all right. And I go, yeah, I'll call you when I get home. Like I felt really, it sounded like a great idea. I was like, how hard is it, man? I'll call you when I get home. And then Sunday rolls around, and I'm like, holy shit, I just committed to walking with a stranger. And I'm like, fuck. And I can.
Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Like going to FaceTime.
Right. No, we're just going to talk on the phone. So I call him on Sunday, and I could hear in his voice, he was reluctant. I go, hey, we're still doing this, right? And he goes, I guess. You know, I'm like, all right, you got your shoes on? You went. And we went for a walk and talked to each other for 20 minutes, and it was a little fruity, but
day two canceled.
Day two, no, day two. You know, well, here's the crazy thing: after 20 minutes, it was like, you know what? That was actually pretty easy. We just, you know, I mean, just committing to 20 minutes and just getting up. So we did it again the next day and the next day, and then there was one day I remember going like, "Hey, Bob, you know, we just walked for 30 minutes, right?" And he's like, "Oh, we did." I'm like, "Yeah, we just did 30, man. How about that?" And
we're only doing 10 tomorrow.
Yeah. and then we started working our way up to an hour, and then we started walking for an hour a day every day. And him awesome. In the desert of Las Vegas, me in whatever city I'm in, I'm calling him every day, and
from
we're going for a walk.
Melanin, air condition.
Yep. So this crazy thing happened. I am in Minneapolis, and Pearl Jam is in Minneapolis. That's not a coincidence. I book all my shows around Mariner games, Seahawk games, and concerts. So my friend Mike McCready,
hilarious.
My friend Mike, who plays guitar for Pearl Jam, he comes out to my show on a Saturday night. And then the next night, I go to his show in a much bigger room. And I watch him do sound check. And afterwards, I said, I go, hey, man, did I ever tell you that I have a walking buddy? And he goes, you have a walking buddy? And I go, it's as heterosexual as it could possibly be. But I got to tell you.
Other than blowing each other. Yeah. Sure. But listen,
I got to tell you this because you're part of this. Because this guy he's a special ed teacher who lives in Vegas. And he's a sweetheart of a human being. And, dude, this guy has the worst luck, especially with his health. He was in a coma. And when he was in a coma, because of his weight, he had some physical problems that led to him being in a coma. His wife would come in and play your music, and he had a physical reaction in a coma. He actually had tears running down his face. He goes, oh, my God, you're kidding. And I go, no. I mean, that's how much of a fan he is of you. And I would never ask this for anybody else. I'm just – but just because it's a special circumstance – the next time Pearl Jam plays Las Vegas, is it okay if I send Bob to your show and get him to meet you? Because he can't fly to other cities because of his health. And he said, yeah, of course. And then he started making jokes. And he said, hey, maybe the band will take him for a walk. You know, we'll walk him around the building. And then whatever.
I go, yeah, I didn't know Pearl Jam was gay.
Yeah. So what was it? Like the next few months, I'm walking with Bob. And we always had the same subjects. The fucking Seahawks are awesome. The fucking Mariners suck. And, hey, have you heard the latest about Kiss? Have you heard the latest about Pearl Jam? That was almost every hour-long conversation. And he started telling me, like, hey, man, I saw that Pearl Jam's going on tour soon. And I go, oh, man. Well, Bob, those tickets are hard to get, dude. Those are, I mean, good
luck. Oh, here
luck.
We go.
Like, I'm just setting him up because I don't want him to know. I want it to be a surprise. I'm
right,
to surprise
right.
my buddy.
Hang in there, buddy. Keep losing weight.
Good luck for you, you know. This really fucked up thing happened in September of 2015. I get back from Green Bay. I was doing a show out there so I could watch the Seahawks play the Green Bay Packers. And I landed LAX, and Bob's wife called me up and said, hey, where are you? And I said, I just landed LAX. What's going on? And she said, well, I have some really bad news. Bob is in a coma again, and he has 48 hours to live. And I just want to know if you want to see him, you know, you can come and see him. And I was like, I go see him. And I go, what? I don't, and I didn't know what to do. And it was really shocking. But then I get down to baggage claim and I'm realizing like, oh my God, I've been talking to this guy for an hour a day for like the last 2 years. Like, and then I just started crying in the baggage claim. It was really crazy. And then it hit me like, I got to go see him. And then I just walked out of baggage claim, got in my car, and I just started driving to Vegas. And then it hits me like, holy fuck, I'm not going to get to do the thing. I'm not going to get to do the fucking Pearl Jam thing. So I texted Mike and I said, hey, man, I don't know if you remember me telling you that I had a walking buddy. You said you would meet him. You know, he's the guy who's a fan of yours that is such a fan that he had a physical reaction to coma. He's not going to get the chance to meet you. I just found out he's got 40 hours to live. I'm actually in a car right now driving to Vegas to go see him. But I need to tell you what he would have said to you, because he talked about you every day. And then I'm sitting there fucking, I'm writing a fan letter to my friend Mike on behalf of Bob. And I said, this is what you meant to him. These are the moments where you were there for him, and you don't even know this, but... And then he wrote me back and said, what's his name? And I said, it's Bob. It's Bob Miles. And then after about a half hour, Mike started sending me videos, and I opened one up, and it was Mike with a guitar, and he said, hey, Bob Miles, Mike McCready from Pearl Jam here. My friend Craig Gass just told me about what's going on with you, and I wrote some music for you that I hope will help you on your journey. So here we go. And he started playing music, and it's like one after the other. It's him, you know, hey, maybe you might appreciate this. This is kind of like a combination of two songs I think that you love. And he's sending me videos. I start crying uncontrollably, and then I start messaging his wife. And I said, hey, Renee, listen, I'm on my way. I'll be there in a few hours. But if Bob can look at anything, please put this in front of him right now. His favorite guitarist of his favorite band just wrote some music for him, and I'm sending her the videos. And then Renee went to Bob's bedside and said, Bob, Craig's coming. And he looked at her and he just nodded her head. He said, Craig's going to hang out with you. He's coming to spend time with you. And he nodded his head. And she said, but look at this. This is amazing. Mike McCready from Pearl Jam wrote some music for you. And she started playing him the clips. And he had to sit up in bed. And he was like, and he was holding his eyes open because tears were pouring out of his eyes. And he's watching his favorite guitarist of, that is the last thing that Bob Miles saw. Was his favorite guitarist from his favorite band playing music that he had written for Bob. And then it was like another hour later when Mike texted me and said, hey, did you get what I just sent you? And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I never even replied. I said, oh, my God, yes. I go, I'm sending the videos now. I'm sending them all over. And I'm sending. And he goes, okay, that last video, the fourth one, is not for Bob. It's for you. And I started to open up the fourth one. And the fourth one was Mike going, Craig Gass, it's Mike McCready. This last video is for you. You're a good man. And that's why you deserve some lick it up. And he starts doing a horrible version of my Paul Stanley impression. And by the time I got to the hospital, Bob was being supported by these machines. And his wife let me go into the room alone, and I talked to him for a while, and I rubbed his head and told him how much I loved him, and I would play these videos for him. I'd put them up to his ear, and I would play all this music. It's really beautiful music. And then at one point I go, Bob, nobody knows this, but Mike sent one more video that nobody's heard.
Oh, no.
And it's Mike doing a horrible impression of Kiss. I'm going to play it for you. And every time I got to the Kiss video, Bob would twitch like he would. And I go, it's fucking horrible, right? I know. It makes you want to just check out of the hospital right now, right? You just want to get the fuck out of here? I know. And I would play that video for him. Every time he would kind of twitch. And I go, I know, man. Let's just get out of here. Fuck this music. Let's get out of here. But, yeah, it was really crazy because I felt bad that Bob never got to have any cool experiences. And then, as it turns out, right before Bob left, he got to have the most profound experience I've ever seen. And that was the last thing that he got to see on Earth. I'm coming to Vegas, and I'm headlining Vegas for the first time, and his family's going to come out to my show. So I was really... it's weird, but a really heavy...
But, dude, hanging out with you every day was probably a very cool experience for him.
Well, that was the crazy thing, is that he would start posting about it on his Facebook page, and I had to tell him, Bob, you know, you can't tag me, because this is just me and you. And he's like, all right. So he would just put a hashtag, walking with gas. And he would reinforce...
Everyone thought it had something to do with the Mexican
Oh, man. Poor Bob.
Yeah, but I'm glad I'm not walking with Bob. Yeah.
This guy shits his pants for an hour a day.
Fucking guy can't catch a break.
He's got a real problem, and it's not just with spelling.
Walking with gas. Holy fuck. Yeah. And he grew up in Bellingham, Washington. And
oh, wow. That's where my dad lives.
Really?
Yeah.
And a month or so after he passed, I went to Bellingham to connect with all of his friends that he told me about. I wanted to put faces to names, and his friends wanted to meet me, and we all went for a walk together. And what was really crazy, Bob, being a special ed teacher, while we were walking, an unaccompanied kid who was a special ed kid walked up to us and started talking to us. We didn't even know who he fucking belonged to. We were like, that's fucking Bob. Like, it was really crazy. But his friends told me some stories that I didn't know that he was, he had an oxygen tank before I met him that he would walk around with. And he was walking around so much that he stopped needing the oxygen tank. So his health was starting to get better.
Wow. And,
but more than that, he was telling them stories like, oh my God, you know, Craig, my comedian friend, told me. And it was really crazy because I met his family and he did a move that I would do. He apparently would tell his family at the dinner table, oh, man, my friend Craig Gass did a really funny thing on Facebook today. And his kids would go, Dad, you're not Facebook friends. It's not a real friend. He goes, no, but he acknowledges my posts. He likes my comments. And then so he would tell his family, like, I'm friends, my friend Craig Gass. And then when we met at that bar, after he passed, one of his kids told me that, after we met, that his daughter said, Dad, now you can say you're friends with Craig Gass. And he was like, oh, that's so true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really
sweet.
That
is so crazy.
Yeah, man. And we joked. He had a tough time sometimes, especially early on walking. He would just be like, I need to stop. And I go, all right, take a break. And then one time he had a son with him. And he had just told me that he had an autographed football from Steve Largent, one of the early Seahawks all-stars. And he was telling me he had an autographed football. And when he was wheezing and had to stop and take a break, his son was on. And I go, hey, put your son on the phone. And he put his son on the phone. And I go, hey, if anything happens to Bob, he promised me that football. So don't, yeah. I go, Bob, you're giving me the football, right? You're giving me the football. And he would laugh and laugh. And anytime he had problems walking, I would go, all right, man. I go, the football's in writing, right? Like, it was just a joke.
Yeah.
And then like a year after he passed, one of his kids came out to one of my shows and said, hey, our dad said it was really important that you get this. And I was like, oh, man.
Wow.
I didn't want that fucking football.
That was like a running joke.
It was a running joke.
But because you
or
probably
a walking joke.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, because you pushed him to walk from 20 minutes to 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
You probably increased his lung capacity and probably prolonged his life, which.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's what killed him.
Yeah.
That's Drink Jokes and Storytelling.
Craig Gass, killing it.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.